Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and psychic medium Sherry. The show is about to begin. Well, good evening, everyone. And we are back live, Sherry and I, for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And hope everybody has been safe and doing well. Sherry, how have you been doing?
Pretty good. You heard I have a new arrival to my home.
Yes, you just told me you got a new dog. Well, that's exciting.
He's adorable. He's a beautiful soul, loving, beautiful soul.
Very exciting. What else has been going on? Anything monumental? How's your tour going? Have you been touring lately?
No, I've been kind of sitting back, but in a couple weeks, I'm going to be doing the big body, mind, and spirit. So I'm really happy about that.
Very cool. Well, I wanted to mention a couple things. I'm kind of going through a nightmare, or will be going through a nightmare shortly. But before I get into that story, I wanted to say that, you know, I've mentioned, I believe, in the past that I'm a big user of TikTok in terms of I'm addicted to TikTok. And lo and behold, I was scrolling through my TikTok and a past guest, E.M. Tongi, showed up on my TikTok from American Idol singing Sound of Silence, the Simon and Garfunkel thing, which I thought was really cool. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, so I did a nice rendition of that. And so I was kind of surprised, like, hey, that guy was on Paranormal Horizons a few weeks ago.
Yeah, what'd you think of that? He did a really good rendition of that.
Yeah, it's a good rendition. I love the original. I also love the version that heavy metal band Disturbed did, but that is just a great song selection. That's an amazing song, and he did a great job at it, and his rendition was fantastic. So I was kind of surprised. I was kind of excited when I saw that flipping through my TikToks.
Well, he's on American Idol again tonight. I think they're going to be voting. So they're going to be voting as far as they're going to be voting with the different performers. So you can go and vote for EM if you want to. And go in, I don't know, there's three ways I think you can go and vote for him. You can, there's a text number that you can do, and there's three ways I think you can.
Yes, well, hopefully everybody votes for him. I'd like to see him progress. I don't have a means to watch American Idol, or I certainly would. But so that's kind of exciting. So I've talked to you briefly before we started the show, and then I'm dealing with something right now. It's a very preliminary, well, not very preliminary, situation having to do with my home and the HOA. To give a little background, I live in a townhome that is new. I bought it before it was even finished being built. And I've been here 3 years, and there's an HOA. It's a gated community, and there's 61 units. Now, when I first moved in here, I got onto the HOA board, and I'm still on the HOA board. And the reason I did that is because I did not want the HOA to do anything crazy like raise dues or charge us ridiculous amounts of money. So the situation here is that we did a, I'm trying to remember what it was called. I don't remember exactly what it's called, Scope of Something. And what it is, it's a really in-depth inspection of the entire community. This company comes out, I think it's CERTA, and they come out and they look at all the buildings. And when I moved here, I thought, well, you know, my place is new, so, you know, I'm not going to have to worry about anything crazy. But our community is, half of it's new, like 3 years, like me, and then half of it was built in 2008 or 2009. So they came in and they did the inspection, and lo and behold, the older units need a lot of targeted repair to the tune of $1.8 million. So now it looks like that $1.8 million will have to be divided by 61, and we're each homeowner is going to have to pay, this is a guesstimation because we don't know the actual number, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $30,000 to $40,000. And it just makes me, yeah, let me write a check. I don't have $30,000 or $40,000. And what really each person. And it's really one of those things that it's going to end up being one of these HOA nightmares. You know, the people that are new here and have newer units get screwed because maintenance wasn't done on the older units. And unfortunately, there's really not a lot that you can do about it. And so I don't know how all that's going to pan out. Probably I can't pay that. I don't work full time, you know. So I'll probably have to get a lien on my place, or, you know, they could potentially foreclose take my house, because, I mean, that's just an obscene, I mean, it's one thing if somebody if it's like $1,000, $2,000, but when you start talking about the price of a car, you know, $30,000, a lot of people don't have that much cash lying around, you know?
No.
So.
No.
And it's going to be more than that. Well, I'm sure it's going to be more than that. And unfortunately, there's not a lot that can be done. The HOA, even though I am the HOA, you know, it doesn't
mm-hmm.
make sense, you know. So,
wow.
More to come on that.
Talk to mom about that.
Yeah, she can't help me. I don't know. I just don't know how it's going to pan out. And so I was Googling it, and these sort of things happen all the time. But even HOA nightmares, it's called a special assessment. It's hard to find ones that are even that high, but I did find some ones that were like $60,000 or this and that. And I think the dues that I pay every month is ridiculous as it is, because we have a gate, we have landscaping, and they pay for the water. So it, like, where's all this money going? And I'm on the board. I get all the emails. I have all the documents and stuff. And the problem is you could say, oh, well, just move out. Well, yeah, that's great. But unfortunately, if you know about that, you have to disclose it to the seller. So they're going to get you anyway.
Oh, wow.
It's all very legal and stuff like that. And I thought about that, like I said, when I moved in, I'm like, great, I won't have to deal with special assessments for decades. You know, I'm here 3 years, and then outrageous $30,000 or $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, however much it's going to be. And it's like,
wow.
Yeah. Just imagine getting a bill for that. Like, I can't afford that. I'm poor.
Wow. Is there a way, there might be some way that you can get to, you know, I don't know. Some kind of low income kind of program or something, maybe? I don't know.
No, not really. The only thing that I might be able to do is I have a a condo, even though this isn't a condo, I have a condo policy, and it automatically comes with $1,000 assessment, something assessment insurance, and I called the agent up and I raised it to $25,000, but I don't know that it will cover this particular instance. Usually those types of things are doing like when a building burns down kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not just neglected maintenance. So I'm not holding my breath that that's going to bail me out. But so yeah, just a developing thing, not paranormal in the least, but it's just one of the nuisances that we all have to deal with. Now, worst case scenario, I kind of want to get out of here anyways, you know. Maybe it's time. I could do that, actually. I could do that. You know, buy an RV and live in an RV park. I'm cool with that.
Oh, okay. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, so HOA nightmare.
Yeah,
so that's my drama.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so what's going on with your nightmare? That was a nightmare?
That's a nightmare. That's developing. To me, it's a nightmare because I'm poor. I don't work full-time. I don't, you know. My place is very nice, but, you know.
There's no way you can get around it, huh? You can't. There's no.
No.
Wow.
I mean, even if I can make payments on that, it's just because I don't work full time. You know, I don't make a lot of money, so I don't want to work full time. Actually, I refuse to work full time. Now, I don't work. I work 32 hours a week, which is technically part time, but it's close. I work
that's
close.
It, yeah, but that's a lot. Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to get another job because I work 2 miles from my home.
I don't blame you.
I have a new car that I've had for 10 months, and I've only put 2,000 miles on it because I work so close.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
So another interesting thing, so I'll keep you posted on that. The other interesting thing is if anybody's listened to this before, I work in pathology at a hospital. So basically, you know, I get all the nasty stuff that's cut out of the human body. And I got something that even surprised me. It was a kidney tumor the size of a 15-pound kidney tumor the size of a turkey.
Wow.
Astonishing. Absolutely astonishing.
Wow.
Could you imagine, Karen, having something like that? I mean, I see the craziest things, you know. It's pretty wild.
That is wild.
So that has been my week. That's been my week. But I'm pushing 50 years old, and I'm just tired of work and tired of being a slave at the bottom of the barrel. You know, while the people at the top of these organizations, hospitals, wherever you work, corporate, you know, they're raking in tons of money. You got to tell people what to do, and then the people at the very bottom make barely enough to survive. And I'm sick. I guess you would call it of the rat race. And, this whole HOA situation may just put me over the edge. I may have to end up just selling this house and moving.
I was going to tell you, that's probably what you're probably going to end up having to do, so you don't have to get into accrue any more debt.
Well, yeah, and I'm going to have to pay the assessment anyway, but at least the money will come off the top of the sale of the place, which sucks because that's a lot of money. That would pay off my car, but, you know, hey. What are you going to do? But I after this, I'm vowing off of HOAs because not just me. This sort of thing happens all over the country, even worse than this. People just get their houses foreclosed on over, you know, $20 debt to the HOA. So, yeah.
Wow.
What can you do? The HOA has all the power. They can do whatever they want, pretty much, as long as it's in line with the bylaws.
Yeah, I got to be careful. I think they have a lot of control of what's going on, the HOAs.
Oh, yeah, and I'm on the board, so, I mean, I'm a voting member, and I'm the HOA secretary, so, you know, it's, so, yeah. So, anyway, other than
wow.
that, that's about what's been going on. Not a whole lot in the paranormal.
Well, did you hear about Ian? He got into the last Sunday night or Monday night. He was picked. There was 24 spots. He was picked for the 24th spot. And then his two buddies, they made an allowance for this season. They made an allowance for two more openings, and his two buddies were allowed into the final, not the final round, but tonight is another where they're voting. So once they get vote, then they get one more round, I think. I'm not quite sure. But
sure hope he wins it. I would love to see him win it, and then we can say we've had an American Idol winner on Paranormal Horizons.
Well, he'll come back. He's a client of mine. This is my second time we've had him. I've had him on my radio show, Facebook, on my personal Facebook Live, on Psychic Medium Sherry. So not personal, but the business. But yeah, he's really good at what he does. He's just I knew 2 years ago he was going pretty far, and so now that he's come this far, he goes, yeah, you were right, Sherry. You were absolutely right in where I needed to go. So it's good to hear that he was able to make it that far. And he's really good. He's really good at what he does.
Absolutely. Hey, so I know we always just bounce around a lot. It's kind of what we do. I wanted to mention that we're pros at bouncing around. But I just remembered this, that in the some disaster news, some news that's probably potentially could be catastrophic for the people that live on the west coast of the United States. I don't know if you follow. Do you follow the news at all?
Not very much. A little bit here and there, but anything that's kind of, I try not to put it in my way.
It's probably wise not to follow the news because it's never anything good. But this story is interesting, and I think it. It's a good reminder of disaster preparedness, which I've talked before, is making sure you have enough food, blah, 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 blah. They have known for about a decade off the coast of Oregon that there is some streams in the bottom of the ocean, some streams of hot, I think it's water, but I'm not entirely sure, bubbling out. That's not that unusual, but it's at a location where I believe it's the Pacific tectonic plate, and I don't know if it's the plate of Juan de Fuca or something. I don't remember the other plate, Northwestern. Anyways, it's an area where that produces basically, you know, 9-plus magnitude superquakes. And the last superquake was somewhere, this was 7,000 or 700 years ago. Anyways, the stuff that's leaking out, they are referring to as lubricant, and apparently, and I did not know this, but these huge plates, you know, that are constantly grinding back and forth, have this heated water or whatever it is, which is lubricant, which prevents, you know, allows the plates to shift, and they are concerned that this, it's starting to come out more and more, that these tectonic plates are losing the lubricant, which could trigger a massive, like, megathrust earthquake, 9 magnitude or greater, and they have been saying for many years that we are way overdue for this earthquake and tsunami, and would be devastating to the West Coast, particularly probably Portland, because the infrastructure here is so, and the bridges are in terrible shape. Will it happen? It's definitely going to happen. The question is when. There is evidence on the coast. They can see it, the evidence of when it happened before. And so, is it going to happen today or tomorrow or in 100 years? I don't know. But they are concerned about this lubricant that's being forced in these holes off the coast of Oregon.
Wow. So no prediction on when or where or anything like that. I mean, not where, but when. But it's getting close, right?
They say it is actually overdue. The location is 50 miles off the coast of Oregon. And it's not just Oregon that has to worry. If something like this happens, it's going to be, you know, California and Japan and Hawaii and all these other places. It would be absolutely catastrophic. It'd probably be the worst, if not the worst, earthquake situation that's happened in recorded history. There have been level 9 earthquakes before, but in areas that are this populated with infrastructure that's so terrible, it would certainly mean a massive loss of life and basically just destroy the Northwest and Northern California. There's some good cheery thought for you, but you know, people have been saying,
is it affecting Washington too? Is that Washington?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the whole
west coast of the United States, and maybe even on the other side of the Pacific, would have some tsunami problems. And we've been lucky for a long time here in the Northwest. The last disaster that I remember, I've been up here since about 1991, was, I don't remember, in the early 90s, we had like major flooding. I don't know if you remember that. but it was, do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It was like the Columbia River and the Willamette River flooding Portland. And I mean, it was crazy. So we're probably overdue for some sort of crazy thing. And then if this plate shifts and causes a megaquake, you know, we also have volcanoes. Literally, we're amidst volcanoes. There's volcanoes in Portland. You have Mount St. Helens, Mount Hood. And, those could be triggered. It's really kind of it's a terrible potential scenario.
Wow. Geez. So how's work going for you? Busy at the hospital?
Yes, it has been quite busy. It's busier than I would have liked. I had a kind of a rough week last week, and just a lot of stuff going on. I mean, there's always people going to the hospital, and there's certain things that I have to do, which is probably true for literally everyone that has a job, that I just can't stand doing. So I basically evaluate my weeks with, how many times have I had to do the terrible things that I can't stand doing.
Mm-hmm.
And last week, it was just one of those weeks where I had to do a bunch of stuff that's just a pain in the ass. Certain things in my job are complicated, and there's one thing which is more complicated than the rest. And this particular thing happens to me about once or twice a year. And it actually happened like 3 times in 1 week. Like, what is happening? Which is basically, I mean, I'll tell you what it is. It's not a big deal. It's basically a kidney biopsy. And it is such an incredible pain in my ass.
You had to go through a kidney biopsy?
No, that's just the procedure. I'm not in that procedure, at least normally. But there's just a lot of paperwork involved with that procedure.
Wow.
And it's time consuming. The other thing that I have to do, there are procedures that I have to go to. And there were a lot of those as well. So when all those things happen on the same day, it's kind of a crap. I have to stay late. But it's nothing special with that. I mean, everybody that's got a job has to deal with those sort of days. Mondays, oddly enough, Mondays are typically one of the easiest days of the week. I have a lot of procedures on Mondays, but but in terms of the volume of specimens I'm getting, it's low. Yeah. So, but and it's funny because the week progressively gets worse. So Monday's pretty chill. I go to procedures, do what I got to do there. And then it gets busier and busier. And damn, by the time you hit Thursday, it's like, it's garbage. And then Friday eases up. And then, yeah. So that's my life. But I'm tired, and I'm sure pretty much most people out there are, of living in the rat race. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one with dreams of just being able to quit a job and just, like, live on the road. You know what I mean? Just wake up in the morning, not have to worry about work, you know, drive, stay wherever you want. But unfortunately, the reality is that you have to have the money to be able to do that. And I could get away with it. You know, I've calculated it in my head because I've been looking at RVs. I could buy an RV, pay cash with the sale proceeds of the sale of my house, obviously. I could probably survive. I could probably stretch it out for 8 years. But then what? Then I have no job, no money, you know. Because I've always assumed that I'm not going to live very long. But what if I do? then you're really screwed. You'd be like 60 years old. Who's going to want to hire you? So that's what holds me back from just pulling the trigger on doing that is, you know, what if I live long?
How far you expect the worst and prepare for the worst and expect the best, right? Hopefully.
Yeah, well, and the reason I've talked about this before, the reason I don't think I'm going to live very long is, you know, my heart is just beating all whack attack all the time, constant chest discomfort. So I'm like, I've got to be like a month away from a massive heart attack or stroke. And, you know, I'm putting off going to the heart rhythm doctor. And, you know, I got a referral to the heart rhythm doctor like 6 months ago. Did I go? No.
Are you afraid of something?
No, oddly enough, the funny thing about it that is preventing me is I don't want to drive to those are like subspecialty doctors, and it's, you know, it's in Portland, and I just don't want to drive in Portland. That's why I haven't gone. I don't care about going. That's how ridiculous I am. But I guess I should probably make the appointment. They're not gonna do anything for me anyways. It's like a waste of money.
Well, you just gotta pick a real doctor and really feel what's good if they're, you know, if they are, and it's just not a job for them, but they care about people. That's the main thing. You know, there's good and bad, and you want somebody that really cares about people and not pushing medications and surgery unless it's really needed, but just making sure that the people you're dealing with are really good people.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a lot of great doctors out there.
Do you really? Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of staying home, but when you have the wrong intention of just making a buck, that's just the wrong way. I mean, I think that you need to focus on the welfare of your patient and really have compassion and empathy towards them as if you're going to treat them as if it was your own, you know, mother, brother, whatever, your own family, in a good way, in a very good way.
There are a lot, but I think a lot of people in healthcare, I know a lot of people in healthcare are just suffering from burnout. You know, these doctors have hundreds of patients, you know, and they deal with all sorts of personalities. And even just going to see a doctor takes forever. I can't see my PCP for 2 months if I schedule it right now. It's everybody's overwhelmed. And so I kind of get why why it's you're kind of treated like cattle in some cases. Some doctors aren't. I have a great, really amazing cardiology physician assistant, but a lot of the other doctors, you know, they're just, you know, they're just trying to get you in and out. Or they just want to pump you full of medicines. And,
yeah, drugs and surgery. Yeah, it's not about, you know, really finding out what the cause is. It's just your, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah,
I
that's
tell
not
you,
a way.
Sometimes I'm scratching my head because I know what goes on because I deal with all the operations and surgeries and stuff like that. And sometimes I feel like sometimes these procedures are just collect money. Like when you see somebody that's just an example, you know, somebody that's 100 years old or 95 years old getting a colonoscopy. Why? It's like, to me, it just seems like I don't get it. Like if you're 100 years old, who cares if you have a hemorrhoid or you have rectal cancer? You're 100 years old.
Wow. Wow.
And I see that. I see it all the time, actually. Who am I kidding? So I wonder, you know, what the money mechanism is, you know, behind just over procedurizing people, certainly over medicating people. We just have gotten into a world where everybody thinks you need to take a pill for something, take a pill to help your symptoms, but it doesn't help the problem that's causing the symptoms. Or now, don't get me wrong, medicine is good, and you certainly need it at times. But I just think there's an over-prescribing thing going on. And then you have the, you know, if you're legitimately in a tremendous amount of pain, good luck getting pain meds. It's like near impossible. Anytime you know, if you're in a lot of pain and you want pain meds, then they just treat you like you're an opioid abuser.
You're not the only person that said that.
I know, because it's
you're
true.
You're not the only person that said that. I have a friend, you know, in Montana, and he said the same thing. He says, well, he's got a high tolerance to pain. I mean, when he has been pain, he's got a very, very high tolerance to pain. And if he said exactly the same thing. He said when he just asked, you know, can I, it's not that I'm going to take it, but when I really need it, he said exactly what you said. He said they act like he's a druggie. Like he's
getting a problem.
It's ridiculous.
One of the things that I enjoy doing, and I encourage people that like to read to do this, is just Google your hospital and get the reviews for the hospital and then read through all the one-star reviews. I don't know why. I just find it really entertaining. And you hear a lot about that. Oh, I broke my arm. They gave me Tylenol or something like that. And it's not entirely the doctor's fault. You know, everything is so hyper-monitored now that, you know, if a doctor is seeing prescribing too much, then it's going to send the alarm bells off at the DEA. Doctors don't want that drama. You know.
Oh, the drug enforcement? Really?
Yeah, they're just going to get flagged, and then they're going to get, the DEA is going to come knocking on their door being like, why are you you're prescribing 20% more pain pills than the average? You know, so of course they're going to avoid trying to prescribe people that are legitimately in pain. But then you have the other part of that is you do have a lot of people that are seeking pain medications too. So you have the risk of enforcement to do your job and help people out. And then on the other side, you have people coming in that are drug addicts. So it's hard for them to weigh who's legitimately in pain and who's not. There's some physiological ways you can determine if somebody's in pain, but generally it's subjective. And, you know, people like to go to the ER because they're opioid addicts and, you know, try and get drugs that way, but it's kind of ruined it for everybody else because now you have the DEA on one side, you have the drug addicts on the other, then everybody in the middle that legitimately needs pain meds gets screwed.
Yeah, they do, because when they really need it, they really need it. Yeah, and they get yeah, deprived and everything. That's just not right. Not right at all.
Nope.
Mm.
There's people out there.
It's working down the line from the administrators, right? All the way from the administrator, board of directors, administrators, all the way down to the employees and down to the patients. It dwindles down, right?
Yeah, I don't know. There probably are protocols in place regarding the prescription of controlled substances. What those are,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It probably varies by institution. But all I know is, you know, there are people that need pain meds that can't get them. And it's really unfortunate because people suffer, you know.
Yeah, what do they do? Yeah, really? Wow.
And they go on the street and they buy stuff illicitly.
Yeah. Oh, you mean, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know anything about it, but I would not be surprised.
It used to be back in the day, and I don't know how much of a thing it is now since the DEA's cracked down, but there were pain clinics that had doctors, and that's how people would get their pain pills. They would go to these pain clinics, and sometimes they could find a doctor that was kind of shady and would prescribe a bunch, and they would pay the doctor a bunch of money, or they would just go to one pain clinic, to another pain clinic, to another pain clinic, just to get their pills. I'm talking about the addicts, not people legitimately in pain.
Wow. Yeah. So what do you think about all these UFOs that are coming all over? They're becoming, I mean, just not to change the subject or anything, but look at all the UFOs that are really coming out all over. People are just going just kind of on the spot of what's going on with the different type of paranormal phenomenon.
Yeah, so we should definitely shift to something not as depressing as a disaster or pain problems. It seems to be the prevalence of UFOs has been increasing. I've seen a couple of pretty impressive videos, one of which was, I believe somebody was in a small plane, and literally a silver disc came very close, buzzed by at a high rate of speed, but was very close. It's probably the closest video that's not, it doesn't appear to be fake anyway, of a flying disc. So I thought that was interesting. But, the global, or at least the Western consciousness is changing on it, and the government appears to be releasing more information. Will they let us know what's really going on? Probably not. So it's becoming more accepted, and we're starting to see more and more videos. So it's kind of exciting to see where all that goes down the road if it keeps going like that.
Exactly. Yeah, so many different ones all over. And these people, when I see them, a gal, her name is Terry Adams, and she posts so many different phenomenal UFOs that people have. And I really feel that these are not CGI. These are like on the cuff, on the spot. What the heck is it? I don't know. Look at this. And everybody working, thing. I do not see it. It's, there's too much of it going on that we don't understand.
Yeah, and I think some of it is possibly I'm sure some of it's classified project technology that we've created that people could be seeing. I think some of it would be stuff like natural phenomena, and some of it is, of course, blatantly faked. And then once you start sifting through all that, and then you have the legitimately unexplained stuff going
mm-hmm.
on.
So, yeah, I got to keep an eye out on this. On the horizons and check them out. I see one UFO. I see one in the middle of the night at 1:30 in the morning, right in the parking lot of Walmart.
And what did that, I remember you mentioned that a long time ago. But what did that look like?
What's that?
I remember you mentioned that sighting a long time ago. What did that look like?
It was kind of weird because it was blinking. It wasn't moving, but there was one, and it kept on blinking and blinking, and I was wondering what it was. And it was there in the same spot for God knows how long, probably easy 20 minutes. And I just got so tired. I was like, okay, let's go in the store, you know, right in the parking lot of Walmart. It was like early in the morning. Early in the morning. And it was crazy, but yeah, it was something that was not moving, and it was kind of weird. I don't know, it could have been a planet for all I know. I have no idea.
I'm trying to think back. I've seen weird stuff in Northern California. I don't think I've seen some weird meteors that I wondered about, like green meteors. The only thing that I've seen in Oregon that I thought was really odd was I was at the Oregon coast, and we were camping on the beach, and this light comes off the horizon, and it seemed to be fairly low, as in maybe a few thousand feet, and it was bright white, and it just flew over, and I'm just staring at no flashing lights. Steady speed. I didn't hear anything, and it just cruised by. But what was weird is that it seemed low, but not like really low, like much lower than a commercial airliner flying over from wherever. And that's kind of the only thing that I recall, anyways, of seeing in Oregon.
Yeah, there's so much. There's too many out there to even wonder what they are, let alone. I don't know if you remember, her name is Walters. We had her on Paranormal Horizons Radio probably about 7 years ago. Her name is Laura Walters. And she's the one that captures fairies, gnomes, all kinds of cute creatures that are, you know, elementals. She's the one. I don't know if you remember her.
I do remember talking about gnomes and fairies. And as I recall, I was very skeptical.
Right, right. Well, she sent me a photo, and I think I deleted it, but she was in Salem, close to her house, and she shot something in the air. And I'm not kidding you. It looked like a mothership and two other small ships that were around there. It was amazing. This is not something she's a very good photographer when it comes to those kind of things. I mean, she just kind of, I wonder what that is. Click, click, you know, shoots up her cannon, and all of a sudden, what the heck is that? And when she went and opened it up and enlarged the resolution, you can tell it was like, wow, looks like some kind of ship with two other little ships were, you know, that are around there. It was really amazing, truly amazing.
Oh, I wish you still had that. I would actually love to see that.
I know. I can go. I, as a matter of fact, I will go and message her. I will go and message her and see if she would share that. And this is something that I would not be able to do in public. But definitely, I would definitely share it because you were on radio. This is something that I don't think she would want everybody to see. I remember saying something. I promised her I would not share that in public. So I'll ask her about that.
Yeah, I would definitely want to see that. You know, one of these days, I wish there wasn't so much light pollution where we live. I would love to go sky watching, but you just can't do that unless you're out. Drive for hours, unfortunately.
I know. That would be so cool. I wonder if you go into the higher elevations, you can even see it better.
I think you'd have to go over the mountain, eastern Oregon, central Oregon, probably would be okay. No, you'd have to get a ways from Bend. Maybe Warm Springs might be okay. you know, anywhere kind of out there. Best place would be in southeastern Oregon, I think.
Huh.
Jordan Valley. So
what is, if, when they have the mothership, that's the big one. What do you call those other two? What do you call?
Baby ships? I don't know. I think they could be called any, off the top of my
There's
head.
There's a name for it. There's a name for it.
I can't think about it off the top of my head.
What is it called?
Scout ships or?
That's what it's called. That's exactly.
Scout
That's
ships.
What they
yeah,
are. They're scout ships. Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Well, wouldn't,
yeah, I'll get that
one. Yeah, I would love to see it. It wouldn't surprise me if there's big motherships out there hiding in the clouds or cloaked or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll ask her.
Oddly enough, I have not had any strange UFO-related things happen in years. I'm just waiting to be abducted, and yet, nope, I can't say that I've been abducted in quite some time.
Oh, joy. So you've been doing okay, and yeah, just, we've taken a break. It's been kind of dead.
Yeah, you know, life just kind of doesn't, you know, honestly, sometimes we don't do the show. I'm just a little lazy. I'm just lazy. I could be laying in bed eating pizza or playing video games or, you know, doing something else.
It's okay. Oh, my gosh.
But hey, the show will go on, so.
Hey, let's talk about, let's kind of move it along. What's your feeling about dowsing?
I used to do a lot of dowsing. There was a time in my youth, and I was into all of that, and I would do the dowsing. You know, you basically take your wire hanger, and bend it like an L, and then you take it, set each one in your hand, so the long portion of the L that you've bent from your wire hanger is just resting on your knuckle, and you're not gripping it. You're just letting it hang there, and then people using it for centuries to find water or gold or anything like that. Some people swear by it. I seemed to have success when I was doing it. But mm-hmm. I was never tested. Like if I was like testing myself, I knew where the object was that I was trying to douse. But people have done like blind studies on it, and that showed that it was complete BS. So I'm not going to say it's BS. I'm just kind of right in the middle of it. I don't have an opinion one way or the other. I thought it was successful, but, you know, the mind's a very powerful thing, and it really is kind of the same. The way it works is the same way a Ouija board works. When you're using a Ouija board, it's the ideomotor effect. You know, you're subconsciously making very, very minute movements, undetectable to you, in your hands when you're pushing the planchette. And that's how the Ouija board works. Well, dowsing is the same thing. You're not aligning with any energy. You're basically, your subconscious is causing it to do it. So, yeah. There's evidence to support it, and there's evidence to rebuke it. Just like everything else in life, we'll probably never really know.
Wow. Well, I'm just reading about the paranormal news, and they're saying that the Slender Man, you've heard of Slender Man. He's one of our guests to talk about the Slender Man. And, it's starting to emerge. People are starting to have experiences of confronting this paranormal anomaly or whatever you call that. So
Yeah, go for it.
More and more, it's like black-eyed children or black-eyed adults. People are starting to, from different places, are starting to report this about the Slender Man. So you can imagine you're at the park, and then in the distance you glimpse of a tall man in a dark suit. He is out of place, and you can tell something about him. It's just not right. He's an unusually tall and oddly thin. His arms and legs are long and seem disproportionate to his body. He then turns and looks at you, and that is when you notice his face has no features. You want to scream, and you can feel the panic rising in your chest. Your breath begins to quicken, and your body feels flushed with adrenaline. You have a sudden urge to run but don't want to make a scene. You start moving towards your car, trying not to burst into a sprint. You turn to see where he is, but you've lost him. With the panic kicking over, you give up and break into a run. You make it to your car and take another look around. You cannot see him as you unlock your car doors, but the hairs on the back of your neck and your arms stand up because you can feel him following you, stalking you, waiting until you least expect it. That is when he will snatch you, and you will never be seen again. So the history is that one of the most popular fictional characters across the internet. It's been reported that people are seeing the Slender Man. Stories have inspired blogs, or web series, fan art, even movies. But it's what has gone to the internet content has morphed into a cult-like following. But also the origins of Slenderman are just one of the internet search away. It's morphed into modern day urban legend and experiences. Like any urban legend, the more the story is told, the more it can be real. But these retellings and experiences and the sharing of these stories have helped validate leading people to believe and experience that Slenderman is real.
Well, I know Slender Man. I know for a fact Slender Man is real because I've seen videos of Slender Man. Although I will say that it's not what you're thinking. If you go to YouTube, there are people that get in black suits. They have these stilts and arm extensions, and they put a white covering so you can't see the facial features, and they go around scaring people. So I have seen those videos. So Slender Man is technically real because people are dressing up like that. And I'm sure they're doing it in the woods too.
I didn't know they're putting on some of these people are not even, they're not even the real thing. They're just trying to scare people. Wow.
Yeah, there's some really funny videos. You know, it makes the they're on these little stilt things, not like stilts like you're thinking, but they're like, I don't know, 4 feet maybe, and they strap to your legs. And then like a couple of videos I saw, they were in town at night, and their arms are like 6 feet long, and they have this white sock thing over their face, and they stand behind a corner, and then people that are out enjoying the nightlife walk by, and then he walks out around the corner, you know. It's pretty funny. It's pretty amusing.
And get people get all freaked out.
I don't think Slender Man is real. I mean, there's people dressing up like Slender Man. But, it's funny. I watch a lot of YouTube, so I see a lot of these prank videos.
I imagine there might be a legend, and maybe, just like the skinwalkers or all those bad things.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't want to go and feed into that. No, don't want to go in that rabbit hole. But, yeah. That's crazy. Well, this is trying to be positive. You know, we can try and be positive and be thankful of what we have. And I don't know what this world's coming to, but You know, I just kind of, the more I see that, sometimes I just want to isolate myself.
Well, the world's a mess. We're either going to die in a mega quake or a super volcano or a nuclear war or something like that. But throughout it, throughout all the possibility, we have to remain positive and put out that positive vibe. I try to do it, although I don't do a very good job at it.
Try and be positive. That's the main thing. Yeah. Try to be kind and be positive. That can be challenging at times.
It certainly can. Well, it looks like we're about out of time. And you know, Sherry, this means that this is my dinner time.
It is.
I've got to consume mass quantities, as the Coneheads used to say.
What are you going to have for dinner?
Something completely unhealthy. I'm going to grill this really thin strip steak. I'm going to put it in a tortilla and slather it in delicious cheese. And steak quesadilla, I guess that's what that's called.
That sounds good to me. Sounds really good. I think that's unhealthy.
I'm still doing my morning fruit. I do fruit shakes in the morning. I was hoping that that would like prevent cancer or heal my heart or something, but I'm still have not
feeling better.
I am not feeling better.
You're not.
I have been doing this for pomegranate juice, which cleans out your arteries, allegedly. There were some studies that actually supported that. Pomegranate juice, and I like to do blueberries or blackberries, sometimes cherries. A big old glass of that before I go to work. I usually also have like two eggs, like not like the mass produced abusing chicken eggs, like the expensive ones.
Well, cage free, right? If it's not organic,
yeah,
it's cage
free. The one, you know, when you get your regular eggs, they're yellow. The ones I get are like they're orange.
Cage
free, GMO, what free. So I usually have two of those and then this fruit smoothie. And I thought, well, geez, it's going to help me. All these antioxidants are just going to, like, heal me and make me feel better. And I've been doing this, I want to say 7 months. It has to be 5 days a week. And I feel just as shitty now as I did 7 months ago. So I don't think it's doing anything. But it's become a habit, so I'm just going to continue doing it. And check out pomegranate juice. You know, I'm a big supporter of pomegranate juice. It's not the greatest tasting thing in the world, but there were some small studies done on carotid artery stenosis, basically plaque buildup in your neck. And I don't remember how many participants there were. It was a small study, and drinking a small amount of pomegranate juice every day showed very clearly plaque reduction in the neck. So I thought that, well, if it's reducing plaque in the neck, then maybe it'll reduce plaque in my coronary arteries.
Really?
Yeah, pomegranate juice is probably the healthiest juice that you can easily get. I mean, there's all sorts of more exotic things that you can take, like soursop and stuff like that, but
yeah, I like that. The soursop is awesome. It's an Asian thing, and yeah, the soursop is really naturally sweet. It's good for cancer, they say. There's all kinds of things, you know. The way I look at it is, it's all about balance. It's all about moderation. I don't think you should deprive, and you got to cut yourself off. Everything in moderation, everything if you can, unless it's, you know, you don't want to do any alcohol. I mean, even alcohol in moderation, but no drugs. Just keep. I don't do neither. I don't do drugs or anything because my body's always fine. But I don't drink, so you know, trying to keep my body. But sometimes my diet is bad because I love my sweets. I love my chocolates. You know, that sometimes I have a hard time. But not everybody's perfect, so we try and keep a balance. That's all we can do.
That's so true. Balance is everything. Well, with that, I hope everybody has a safe week. Do you have anything to add, Sherry?
Nope. We're going to go next week, and if you feel like it, I'll be on Body, Mind, Spirit in Portland, Oregon, Hillsboro, Oregon. I'm going to be there. It's going to be, I think, my close to easily probably 10th or 11th year there. So it's going to be body, mind, spirit. And I'm not going to be doing gallery this year. Decided to just kind of pull out. I don't need to do gallery. I just didn't feel like I was being called to do that. But, yeah, anybody want to hit me up, you can hit me up on Psychic Medium Sherry, www.psychicmediumsherry at C-H-E-R-I. So you can go on the contact form, contact me with Chinese Medicine, or you can go on Facebook at Psychic Medium Sherry. Hey, C-H-E-R-I. So, and we have our page, Paranormal Horizons. Go ahead and put a like once in a while. I'll throw in something, but been kind of busy lately, Jason, we need a little bit of more activity on your part, putting some means on.
I've tried. It won't let me.
It won't let you? You sure?
Nope. Yeah, it won't let me share, because I've tried several times to share the memes, whatever it's called, and it doesn't give me that option.
You sure now? Are you positive?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. We're going to have to work that out, because I could do that on the page. I just go under Paranormal Horizons. Literally go under Paranormal Horizons and go on there and go down, and I can see Paranormal Horizons, and it'll show me when you tap where it says what's on your mind. You can just tap in there where the forest is. You could tap in there, and it can show you manage posts. Go under what's on your mind. You can manage your post.
I think I can post like that, but like when I see something funny, I just want to share it real quick, and it won't let me. But I think I can, I can post. So I don't know. I'll have to look at it again and see.
Okay. Well, get a hold of me if you need me. I'll be around. Okay, guys. Hey, take care. Spread love and peace, and until next week or the week after. No, not the week after. I'll be gone. But, either next week or in 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, we'll get it together. All right. All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Hope everybody is safe, and we'll see everybody next time when we see you guys. Have a good week. Good night.
All right. Take care. Love and peace. Bye-bye.